This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Guess who is back? It's series four. It's another new year. We're back in lockdown. But guess what? A girl and a gay in the gym in lockdown are here for you.
So for series four, we decided that we wanted to do it a little bit different. And we all know Richie loves a guest. Loves a guest.
Well, I've been able to plan the whole of this series, haven't I?
I've actually done nothing this series. So every week when we come to you, we've got a different guest, someone different who we think would be really interesting, someone that we know that you might want to pick the brains, and we definitely have picked their brains.
Hey, shall we give them a little hint of who we've got coming up?
Go on.
The gorgeous, the amazing Tamsin Outhwaite.
We've got the incredible Meg Matthews.
Oh, yes. And do you know what? I'm not going to spoil anymore. I think we keep them under our belt, but we have got one. Absolutely, you would not believe a girl and a gay in the gym would even know them. Never mind, get them on the podcast.
I don't understand how we've managed to do this.
I don't understand how we've managed to do it.
Like,
but
no,
guys,
I'm sweating.
We're not going to say anything. We're just going to let it unravel. But keep listening. On that note, shall we crack on with episode one, series four? We are back. We have our guest. It's a girl and a gay in the gym. Right, our first guest. And I know Harriet is absolutely weighing herself at this. She hasn't eaten for a week. She is like a bone because the nerves have took over. Do you want to introduce who we've got today?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the Vivian.
Hey, how are we, Viv?
Hiya, loves. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. New Year, new me, all that.
Viv, you look amazing. You look unreal.
Oh, thank you. And do you know what? I really couldn't have done it without Richie, bless him. How many years have I been onto you, Richie, saying, come on, I need to get fit, I need to get fit. And I just kept putting it off. But this time, I'm kind of torn between, you know, there's nothing wrong with putting a few pounds on. But then you kind of look back at yourself on telly and go, oh my God.
Well, how much weight have you lost now?
I'm a pound off 2 stone. So I'm maze up.
You said about there's nothing wrong with putting a few pounds on, because I feel like I was such a huge fan of the show and still am such a huge fan of the show that I feel like your body and your persona and everything about you is who you are, and especially as a performer. You can say in that, like, losing some weight would change how people saw you as a performer.
When I won Drag Race, there was a few comments going around online like, oh, look, a big girl's finally won Drag Race. And I was like, do you know what I mean? I didn't see myself as a big queen, but I was obviously, if you look back on my Instagram from the G-Bar days up until maybe the show that was on BBC Three, you know, the God Shave the Queens, where it followed us around on tour, then I really saw a huge difference and was like, right, I need to. And, you know, the fandom of Drag Race and people online on Instagram and stuff, I put a post up saying, it wasn't too long ago, how proud I was that I'd lost nearly 2 stone. And then I was getting called out for body shaming. You know, like, this is bad. You shouldn't be promoting losing weight and all of this. I was like, are you messing?
People kind of like, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. But if you're doing something that makes you feel good, you should never be put down for that.
Exactly. It's about how you feel.
Yeah. And I completely see that, you know, I've got friends who've struggled with eating disorders and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm quite an advocate for people with, you know, any kind of disorder, whether it be addiction, eating disorders, stuff like that. But at the same time, if you're not happy with a few pounds you've put on, that's your personal journey. I'm not saying that you need to lose weight. I'm just saying I wasn't happy where I was at that weight, and I feel much better for it now.
Do you feel happy now?
Oh my God, amazing. Like, the first thing I noticed was, like, you know, because I wear corsets in drag, the first thing I noticed was my corset was too big. Do you remember when I put that post on Instagram? I was like, oh my God, I don't have to wear this big corset anymore. And when you just put a dress on, and I just feel so much better in it.
You know your outfits on Drag Race as well? They were so, like, they are so expensive, all the dresses, aren't they? And it's so, like, it's such a big deal. Did it cost you a fortune to get them all taken in? I feel like that bill would be huge.
Well, I mean, luckily, everything I wear is pretty much stretch. So, but it was just getting stretched a bit too much.
Do you feel like, since doing the show, especially, like, I feel like as someone watching, when I was younger, my mum's best friend did drag, so I was very much brought up with it from like a little girl. Like I used to sit, and that's how I learned to do makeup. So when I was 13, I did a full face for every occasion. I went to a Jewish school and it was a bar mitzvah, and I had like diamante studs on my eyelids, like unreal. But I think now, like when, I remember being younger and like a lot of people didn't understand it, and it blew my mind that they didn't, but obviously people just kind of weren't brought up with it and they weren't exposed to it. And now, do you feel like people's approaches to drag are different since the show's come over, or since RuPaul, and since drag is very much, I think people's acceptance and understanding of things are so different?
Oh, 100%. You know, well, first of all, as people being brought up on it, it's crazy. In the UK, we kind of had Lily Savage back in, you know, late 80s, early 90s. We had drag on the TV. It was the normal thing. And I think Lily Savage, because she was such a comedian, I think she kind of got, you know, kind of like a pass. Oh, it's, yeah, it might be drag, but you're so funny. Whereas Drag Race, I think, kind of blew people's minds a little bit, because you've got RuPaul looking like an absolute supermodel. It's kind of a different type of drag, even though it's kind of all the same. You've got people like Bianca Del Rio, who's a comedian, and myself. RuPaul always says drag will never be mainstream, but you can't sit there and tell me now that Drag Race is probably one of the most influential shows that has changed the world. Like, everyone loves a good show. You know, you can say, oh, that was amazing. But look at Drag Race. It's given hundreds of queens these huge careers and performing in arenas, and, you know, and drag cons. And it's just such a cultural phenomenon. And it's crazy. And it's just amazing to be a part of it.
Like, I can't believe it was, what, about 5 years ago, because I used to work in the G Bar with James.
I didn't know that.
I was like Kylie in my little gold top pants. And we had shared the DJ booth, wouldn't we? And do you know what? We'd just get wrecked every week. I can't even remember
absolutely where. Rotten.
But we'd have a ball, but I can't believe the journey you've been on, and it's like amazing to see. But how much has your life changed from back in them days in G Bar to now being RuPaul's first ever champion of the UK? Is that
just
the dog kicking
insane.
Off?
Well, yeah, the dog's kicking off. Panda, shut up. But I loved those days. You know, they were the days that made me, and that's how I discovered, yeah, you know, my character. And but I mean, doing that 6 nights a week takes its toll on you.
Did you do it 6 nights a week?
But
oh my God.
Doing stuff like that, you know, doing the next gig, and then doing stuff like, you know, you're looking at your diary and it's like Celebrity Juice or Celebrity Sewing Bean. That's like mind-blowing. That's crazy. But I kind of hate the word celebrity. Like, I try not to buy into it.
Well, babe, you are now, so just embrace it. Do you know what I mean? But Keith Lemon, I just can't cope with him. He is the funniest man. What was it like going on that show and working with him?
Hilarious. It's exactly what you'd expect. It's exactly what you'd expect. You walk onto set. First of all, they sit you in a bar. So as soon as you're in your dressing room, it's, do you want a bevy? And I'm like, yeah. But you sit there and Keith runs on. It's just like, joke, funny, drink, bevy. You sat there kind of, what's going on?
Oh, wait there one sec, James. Answer the question, Zach. Kim, what's it?
Kim
Woodbird.
Shut up, you horrible little bitch. Come on your podcast, you take the mick. I won't take it, Richie Swan, you horrible man.
There, that's all you're having.
When I was 8 months pregnant, my husband took me on holiday and was like, come on. Well, I was 7 months when we went, 8 months when I got back, but we went on holiday and he was like, come on, we'll just go. And I was like, oh, I feel like it's a bit moody if we go this late, just in case I went into labour on the plane. He went, no, come on, let's go, blah, blah. Anyway, we goes on holiday, we're in the airport to come home, and I went, Luke. And he was like, oh my God, the water's gone. And I went, there's Kim Woodbin. No, she was in the airport. I sprinted 8 months pregnant and was like, Kim, can I please get a picture?
Did you run over to her?
Me and Bagger got to work with her, which again is another full circle moment, you know, doing Kim Woodbin impressions all your life. And then you sat there on set talking. She's just nuts.
I loved Bagger Chips.
I love Bagger Chips.
Like, literally. So you two are working together now, aren't you? Doing a TV show, is that right?
We're stuck at the hip. I can't get rid of her now. Like the Ant and Deca drag.
I love
But yeah, we always work together, me and Bagger. We've got a tour that's probably longer than any of Cher's farewell tours at the minute because of COVID. But what do you do? Crack on.
How has COVID? Because you are a performer and all your work or a lot of your work is from live shows. And that must have really affected you the last 12 months.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my biggest love is performing on stage to a live audience. So yeah, I've been super lucky to still be able to film TV shows and stuff through, you know, these past couple of lockdowns. But I love doing TV, but there's nothing that gives you that gratification like a live audience, yeah. You know, hearing laughs to your jokes, hearing the applause. And there was a lot of, let's do online drag shows. And I think I did like one online thing and I just absolutely hated it because I just don't get that. So that's not why I started doing drag. You know, it's all right us sitting here saying that I've been hard done to. I've not been hard done to at all. I find myself very lucky. But it's the local queens that I feel sorry for. The likes of Tiara, Sian, Barbie. You know, all these queens in Liverpool who haven't worked in 9 months. It's awful. Did you watch the Great British Show and B?
Yeah,
the New Year's special. So the gold dress I'm raffling off for on Twitter, Instagram and stuff. So we're raffling that off, and any money made from that, I'm going to be giving it directly to the local queens. It's live now. It's on me. It's in the bio link on my Instagram, and it's going to be pulled at the end of this month. £3 a ticket, and everything goes to the local queens.
Is there a limit on how many tickets one individual might be able to buy?
I don't think so, girl. Give them your money.
I feel like most people kind of this year just had to like, we all got a bit of a shock and then it was like, okay, adapt, make yourself better. What can I do? So is there anything that kind of you're going to use your time on lockdown to do or to learn? Or is there anything you want to progressing?
When the first lockdown hit, I was like, right, I'm getting stuck into a YouTube channel. I'm going to make a YouTube channel. I bought all this equipment. This is why they've got this mic. And then I made like 2 videos and went, oh, I can't be arsed with this anymore. This is a lot of work. But again, I think it goes, do you know what I mean? I think it goes back to, you know, saying how much I love being on a stage and performing to an audience. I can't sit there to a camera on my own in an empty room. And you know, I just didn't like it. And then I made a couple more and then I sat down editing them. I was like, these are boring. Like, I just don't get, you know, I just came to the fact I'm not a YouTuber.
Oh, don't. Well,
you
like,
need something to work with,
me and Harriet have both started online businesses this year. And, well, you're over 10 years younger than me. I am like a technophobe. I didn't even know how to get onto YouTube, never mind create a YouTube channel. My poor fella's up the wall. I'm in every second going, Connor, how do I do this? Connor, do this. How do you log on? What's my password? I haven't got a clue.
Well, I filmed a thing with MTV with Jade, you know, Jade Thirlwall from Little Mix. And I was like, oh yeah, this will be camp.
Wait there, have you just dropped?
Why, do you love her?
No, right, Little Mix. Little Mix. I am obsessed with Little Mix.
Oh, girl, she came to watch me at fucking Kitty's in Liverpool.
Viv,
you know?
Viv, oh, are you saying Jade could actually be listening to this podcast because she's your mate?
She might do, girl, she might do.
Jade, if you listen to this, babe, I just love you. You're like a gay man's dream. She's like a Chanel handbag, just great on the arm, never go out of date, timeless, but you don't want to sleep with them.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel and we produce this podcast.
We make loads of podcasts and we want to make yours. Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk to find out more.
You forgot the bit about the first free episode.
Oh, and tell us you heard this ad and we'll produce your first episode for free.
Great. Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Right, back to the episode.
Obviously, a lot has happened over time for you, but you've also got married in this time, haven't you? You and David were both coming into the gym to PT with me, weren't you?
Tell us what we were like on the first day.
Oh, right, the first day they come into the... No, well, do you know what, right? Before we start, you've got to remember every time, even though I felt like I'd known James forever, we've only ever seen each other while we're being wrecked. Because we've worked in nightclubs and it's always on nights out. So when he turned up to the gym, he was as quiet as a mouse, and I was like, but you were quite nervous, weren't you?
Yeah, and hungover today.
I thought, oh my God, you were hungover as well. He vomited, he took the knock.
I know, I felt ashamed. Well, first of all, like, I'm quite a shy person anyway, you know, when I'm not on stage, or you see me in, like, a restaurant or out and about in town. I'm quite quiet and quite, I don't want to say anxious, but I think any performer's the same. People sometimes expect you to be like, rah, all the time.
Like the Sasha Fierce to your Beyonce kind of thing.
Yeah. So I'm quite quiet.
And then you've done that workout. They were quiet, took the knock. You worked out really hard. And you're from a sporty background anyway, aren't you? From school.
Oh, years ago, yeah. Years ago, I used to play rugby, cricket, sailing, swimming. But by the time I'd realised that I hated rugby, I've kind of already shown that I was kind of all right at it. So it was too late to pretend that I was crap at it. So they just kept putting me on the team. And I was like, no!
And you're like, no, my nails are break. I'm dirty.
I was literally that queen in school. I used to go sailing. And I remember one day I'd fell in the water, got back on my boat, and the black hair dye was running all down my face. But you know where I'd not washed all the dye out the night before?
So you spoke about you and David and how you both went to train with Richie. Did you find it like, I am married as well, and I couldn't think of anything worse than going and exercising with my husband. I feel like he'd get a dumbbell to the head. How did you find it? Did it motivate you, or like, was it good? Did you have more like off days than him? Did he push you to do more, or were you competitive?
Yeah, it definitely definitely helped having each other to egg each other on. I think David's a bit more competitive than me in the weight sense. You know, it was always kind of like, if I'd lost a pound that week, or if I'd lost 2 pounds and David lost a pound, you could see it in his face. He'd be like, fuming, wouldn't he? But then that only motivated him to do even more. And, you know, literally before we started this podcast, he's been upstairs on the cross trainer, and I have definitely not been upstairs on the cross trainer.
So. Well done, David. I used to get them on the rower and go, right, the first one to 500 metres. Wow, David turned into like an Olympian. Yeah, he's so competitive, isn't he? He was literally like, but then he'd get off and he'd be like, he's used every bit of, he'd do everything to him, wasn't he? That's brilliant though.
Yeah, he's really good. He's really good. And I think the best thing I've found that what you got us doing was the calorie counting. That was mind blowing to see how much weight you can lose. Because I mean, realistically, how I came to the gym, did we do 5 sessions before we had to stop again? So obviously it's slowed down a little bit, but just that calorie counting and what you put in our head about, you know, what food you are eating. And like I didn't realise how much food I was eating, how many calories we were eating. You know, I could go through 2 packets of Pringles a day, and then a full breakfast, and then we'd have a takeaway, then we'd have a Mackey's after the Chinese. And that, looking back, you go, whoa, that's insane.
And do you know what though? We both work, and all our previous series have spoke about, hasn't it? Yeah. To lose body fat, you do have to be in a calorie deficit, and it's calorie counting. When I found out celebrations were 40 calories for one little celebration, that was the eye-opener to me. But a pack of Pringles is 1,100 calories.
We sat somewhere, I can't remember where we were. We were on tour somewhere, so you've had a drink. You get back to the hotel, and I think like somebody had left us a big bag of Quality Street, I think they were, you know, at the meet and greet. So if they're in the hotel room, yeah, you've had a drink, you're cracking them open. We sat there and ate them in the morning. We turned the bag around, 9,000 calories in that bag of Quality Street. We'd ate the lot.
Wait there. We need to have a word. James, we need a word. Is this since we've been training?
Yeah, it was. I don't think we sent you a picture of them.
The way we work is, right, to keep them accountable, they photo everything they eat, and then they send it to me at the end of the night. So they're aware. So I go, so they know they've ate that. They've now logged it in the tracker to see what calories are in that. You should now be aware. Well, I never got no bag of Quality Street off you. Hey, you are. Hey, never mind the show. You are a show.
I forgot to take a picture, love. Sorry.
Since you've lost all that weight, and obviously loads of people kind of like, people have gone 2 ways with lockdown. Like some people have found it amazing and loved the time at home, and some people have really, really struggled from a mental health point of view and have felt quite isolated or really missed that interaction.
Or hit the quality street.
I'm not going to say that exercise is the thing that's going to cure all mental health, and you know, you're going to feel incredible from doing it, but do you think it's helped you going into it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we're definitely sticking to Richie's program. I've not been sticking to the exercise as much because I've been seeing so much benefit through the calorie count and stuff. But I think as soon as we're allowed back, I will be jumping straight in the gym with Richie, you know, to tone up and just give a bit more definition and stuff. But the first lockdown, I was like, you know, going to mental health and stuff like that. First lockdown, I was like, oh, this is lovely. Because me and David were probably home twice a month if we were lucky, because we were always on the road, always touring. So it was kind of nice, because in our head we thought, oh, 2 months, we'll be back to normal. Do you know, this will all be gone.
Yeah.
And then you get to 9 months down the line and you had a taste of work again after the first lockdown. We could go out and tour. Then boom, second lockdown. And then this third lockdown, I am kind of losing my brain a little bit.
I feel like on the first lockdown, so many people, like it was different for Richie and I because it was kind of more our job, but loads of people were like, that's it, that's me. Fresh jammies on and banana bread in the oven. And the weight crept on. And then like second one, and by now, I think loads of people are like, do you know what? I'm not doing that again, because long term, it actually didn't make me feel any better.
Do you know, I thought it was so nice. I saw on your Instagram, Richie, and I thought it was so nice and honest of you as a PT, as something that you do as a living, you know, for a living. I thought it was really lovely that you were so honest and said, listen, I've put weight on. I think it shows people who maybe are looking to do it as well to say, you know, not everyone's perfect. Just because you're a PT, it doesn't mean that you've got this banging, you know, body 24/7. You can slip up.
No, God, are you messing? I still love a drink and I still love to eat. And when lockdown happened, I went from being on the move so much all the time to not leaving the house hardly. And I weren't even moving unless it was to go to the fridge or to pour another drink.
I've been doing little tiny things, you know, like even though I can't go to the gym and do full-on workouts, and I'm just not a workout at home kind of person. I just can't do it. I haven't got the energy. We used to try workout physios. Like I said, David's been quite good this week. He's on the cross trainer and stuff. But I've been doing little things like, oh, we need to go to Marksey's. Marksey's like a 10-minute walk from our house, but I'd usually jump in a cab. But, you know, for the past few days, week or so, we've been walking up there through the park. You get there and you get back and you go, that was fine, wasn't it? That's not killed me. But it's been a little bit of exercise.
They're little things that don't off or are going to make a massive difference, not just for burning calories. Because if you were to do like 10,000 steps a day, which is an hour walk, 7 days a week, if you do a brisk walk, that's like near enough the equivalent of a pound that you're losing or burning off. But also it's how it makes your brain feel, your mind, just getting out of the house.
Like and fresh air.
Getting fresh air and just not being confined to your four walls all day. It's about your mind as well.
You've
as your body.
You've got to get that vitamin D, babe.
Yeah, I think he's getting his vitamin D.
Phil.
Yes, Kim's back.
What's the plan for the Vivian in 2021?
To go shopping for smaller clothes.
Yeah, to go and get some more quality streets. I've just got a part on I can't say what it is, but I've just got a part on a new drama on a big channel that I can't really say much about with a huge actor. So that's kind of nice. It's kind of taken what I do in a different direction to like actually acting with a script and... That's nice. And being able to message my drama teacher from school, who, you know, I was so close with, to say, oh, Mr. Lavin, guess what? I've just got this part. And, you know, seeing him, how proud he was to think, oh, I was his teacher. And now that was nice. I always try and keep in touch with my teachers, you know, if it relates to something that I'm doing in later life. I think it's always nice to let them know. It must give them nice gratification. So, yeah, loads of touring. More TV stuff.
Thank you so much. I'm made up. You could make it to come on to A Girl and a Gay in the Gym. You're our first gay we've had.
Thank you so much.
And I hope 2021 we go back to normal and everyone can get to do your shows and it's a massive success, which I'm sure it's going to be.
Yeah, and we can all have a workout together.
Hey, we can all have a workout together. I'll grab the key in the bucket. Oh wow, babe, how was that?
You know, like when people say like they have a vision of dying and they just see a white light. I just feel like I've been to heaven and then just come back down to earth, and here I am.
Do you know what? Do you know when I asked James to do the podcast and I was praying he'd do it, and I just knew how much you would be made up. I went when I told him, I was like, you do know Harriet is actually gonna die when she finds out.
It's one of the biggest days of my life. I'd put it on par with marriage. I'd put it above marriage. If he's listening, I've got no regret.
Viv, you have made an old woman very happy today.
So, gang, we do the podcast every single week. And, you know, we source all these amazing people. And we're trying to do something to kind of, like, bring people's spirits back up. And we know lockdown's quite hard. And we have a ball when we're together. So we hope that you have a ball listening to it and actually learn something maybe along the way. So what we're going to do is we've kind of got to sort all the production costs and stuff like that. So we're going to add a little link. And if you would like to buy me a little bottle of Lambrini towards the production cost, or buy Richie his bottle of Baby Sham.
Well, I do like gin in a tin, but apparently it's too posh, so I've got to have Baby Sham.
It's dear, Richie. It's £3.75. People haven't got it to lockdown. So if you fancy buying us our little bevy for just two little personal trainers sat in a kitchen in Liverpool, it's www.soundrebel.co.uk/girlgaygym.
At the end of each episode, what we're going to do is we're going to give you small changes that you can make each week to your life. And then over the 10 weeks, hopefully we'll have made a massive change and got ourselves into a better position from this lockdown.
Baby
so,
steps, isn't it?
Baby steps. Do you know what? It's better than taking one big forward and loads back. If we take little steps forward, we'll keep going. What I'm going to say, guys, I'm going to set a little challenge. And this week's challenge, let's try and get out for an hour walk each night. Clear your mind, get the steps in. And you know what? You're burning energy. You're de-stressing, you're feeling good. You're getting out of the four walls and we're doing something good for our mind. Get out, get moving. You know you can do it.
So that is it for episode one. We are back. It is 2021. And we will see you next week for our next episode and a brand new guest.
Yes. See you next week, guys.
Bye.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Men Lose Weight.
This is Men Lose Weight, a podcast about four blokes who partied hard through their 20s together and now they think, maybe we should try and lose a bit of weight in their 30s together.
Be honest now, lads. Have you ever been in the middle of a personal trainer session and feigned an injury?
Guys, so I moved from Birmingham to Nottingham 2 years ago, right? Turns out I've been paying for a gym for 2 years that I live over 100 miles away from.
I guarantee at one point or another, he said, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
He obviously didn't try that pizza. Did you try that pizza that came out this year? The one good thing about 2020 where it's like KFC and pizza combined.
I have lost 3 pounds this week.
Just so you know the numbers, I've also lost 3 pounds this week.
Whoa!
I'm down to 17 stone four.
I have also lost 3 pounds this week.
What? You are joking me.
I am 1 pound down this week.
All
well
good,
done, mate.
We've all
full
lost, progress. which is definitely better than last week, boys. Well done.
A lot better than last week.
£10 in a week, boys.
What? That's like a bait. That's more than my baby weighed when he was born. So we've lost that collectively in a week. So, I mean, if you want to look at that, that's pretty decent, isn't it?
Men Lose Weight from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.